Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and joining me for today's special episode of TCCP is none other than Sussex County Cricket Club rising star, Jamie Atkins. So Jamie, first things first, mate, thank you very much for joining me here on the podcast today. How's your day been so far, mate?
Yeah, it's been all right, thanks. I've just come back from my gym session, a bit of training down at Hove. I've got the twos game down there, so I'll watch a bit of that as well. So yeah, all good.
Oh, fair play, Jamie. What are the guns looking like today? Good?
They are. They've got a little bit of a pump on, so yeah, they're looking better than usual.
Yeah, certainly better than mine. Mine definitely needs some work, Jamie, to say the least.
Not sure about that.
But we're not here to talk about gym work today, Jamie. Of course, we are here to talk about county cricket. So just for the listeners out there, today I'm going to be talking to Jamie about his earliest cricketing memories. Of course, we're going to be touching upon his role with Sussex County Cricket Club this season. And then we will, of course, end today's episode with a classic round of TCCP teammates. But before we get into all of that good stuff, Jamie, let's go right back to the origin of the Jamie Atkins cricketing journey. What were your first ever cricketing memories, either playing or watching the game?
So I've always, from when I can remember, been involved in cricket in one way or another. My granddad was played for Sussex, like junior level when he was younger. My dad played at OK Standard. And yeah, it almost fed down into me. So I started playing cricket for Roffey, my club, which I'm still at now, at five, playing the under nine stuff there. And then it's almost gone all the way through there. So going up the Roffey age groups and going into Sussex at an early age at the under 10s, and then almost building up all the way through there. So those are really my earliest memories.
Fair play. Very, very Sussex orientated then. Very much a
yeah.
Sussex.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Fair play.
Born and bred.
Exactly. But that's wonderful to see, isn't it? A player actually born and bred in the grassroots system, in the county itself, and then going on to represent the county. We at TCCP always like that. It's fantastic when that does come to fruition.
Yeah.
And players get to represent their own county. It's brilliant to see. It really, really is. But you mentioned there about playing age group cricket, Jamie. I have a question for you, because for international listeners, they may or may not have played this before, but did you play diamond cricket in those early days?
I played a lot of diamond cricket. I used to go on holiday camps all the time when I was about six, seven, all the way up to probably about 10 years old, always on holiday camps doing diamond cricket, all sorts of funny games. Yeah, I was always cricket mad since a young age, and it's well, I still am now.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Yeah, never goes, does it, with cricket? As soon as you get the cricket,
yeah, of course,
with you for life, unfortunately, Jamie, for better.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, sometimes for worse, but most of it for better. Yeah,
exactly. You got to take the positives with the negatives.
Exactly.
Me this weekend, Jamie, I'm going to be honest, made my first competitive game since like 2015-16. Got four first ball. Out the second ball, took no wickets, got dispatched for a six over the road.
Bit rusty.
Yeah, a bit rusty to say the least, but hey, got to take the pros with the cons, ain't you?
Simple exactly. It's a day out in the sun.
Oh, yeah, the weather was nice. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, every beautiful cloud. At the moment, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Exactly. Until later this week when the English weather has its revenge and we have a load of rain and thunderstorms, but it's a beauty. Yeah, exactly. But Jamie, in those early days, have you always been a seamer? Have you always been interested in seam bowling, or did you try as a batsman or a spinner or a keeper in those early days?
It's really weird. It's really weird because I hear so many stories about people who come through as like starting off as an opening batsman, but when they get older, they turn to one of the quickest bowlers ever. A lot of people do turn like that, but it was never me. I was always quite a tall person for, you know, always at my age. I never really had any massive growth spurts. I was just always the tallest in my class, tallest in my year. So that almost just fed me into like fast bowling. I always just wanted to bowl as quick as I could and try and hit the ball as far as I can. I do the first one a lot better than the second. But always been a fast bowler ever since, you know, 5 years old. And then obviously still now going into today.
Well, yeah, exactly. But why exactly did you want to go into seam bowling? Of course, it is the romantic style of bowling, isn't it? Not everyone wants to be a spinner, unfortunately. I say that as an off-spinner myself. Yeah. Again, that is something which tends to develop a lot later because everyone wants to bowl really quick. You want to be the next Sherbatsar or Sean Tate or Nowadays, Jofra Archer, Pat Cummins, Kahiso Rabada, Bumrah, for example, there's so many players that you can choose from to emulate. But what was it about seam bowling? You said you wanted to bowl as fast as possible, but was there anything else that kind of drew you into seam bowling in the first place?
I think it's just growing up watching cricket as well. I was always excited by watching, you know, and obviously Jimmy Anderson was always on the test matches, you know. It just excited me so much more watching someone running as hard as they can and bowl as fast as they can. And yeah, I suppose that's what almost excited me about cricket, and it's how I first got into cricket. And I think also my family, my dad always wanted me to bowl as fast as I could. I think he was more excited by it than me at the time. He was just like, go bowl fast. And it was always, just always was part of my life, fast bowling. And I had the physical genes for it at a young age as well with my height. And I've actually got hyperextension as well in most of my joints, which helped that as well. It's probably why I've got such a weird action today.
Well, I was actually going to talk about your action later. I didn't know that. I'm going to be honest. That's something I've learned today. Of course, a very famous bowler, not a seamer, of course, but with hyperextension, Mutima Ralitharan.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't have the same, I don't probably have as much as him, but I just have a little bit in my elbow joint and in my hand that does definitely help it. And it's definitely why I can bowl like I do today. Yeah.
That's really interesting. As I said, something I had absolutely no clue about before, and it does explain the action.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Depends why I'm off at every angle under the sun when I bowl.
To be fair, down in Sussex, another one, not so much with the action, but in terms of photographs of your bowling, George Garton seems to get so much air, doesn't he? He almost seems to levitate when he bowls.
He just puts so much into every ball he bowls. You can really see when he's out there. He has that massive slingshot action, and it results in so much pace, and it's horrible for a batsman. Luckily, I haven't faced him that much in the nets, but horrible for a batsman to face the fact that the release is so delayed from how much he delays it with his arms. It's amazing to see.
Absolutely. He's such a talent as well, George Garton. We'll touch more about Garton and the young talent down in Hove in due course. But you mentioned beforehand there, Jamie, about Jimmy Anderson. Now, of course, for us here in England and Wales, he is basically the GOAT, isn't he? He's the greatest seamer of all time.
Yeah, he's God.
Exactly. 100%. That's a great way of describing it. But of course, he would have been a massive influence in your early formative years in the game of cricket. But who else really stood out to you, either on the international scene or the county cricket circuit? Who did you look up to and try to emulate in those formative years?
I think both of the opening bowlers, you obviously touched on Jimmy there. I think Stuart Broad, I almost aligned myself to quite a lot with that front foot spray, you know, that angle coming back into the right-hander. I think that's almost been more in recent years. But Sean Tate as well, Brett Lee, you know, the quickest bowlers that you watch growing up, you always want to be like that. I mean, I remember watching Sean Tate a few years ago in the Big Bash, and you couldn't see it almost even on TV. It was ridiculous. I just always wanted to be the quickest bowler in my team, in the county. Those are the people that I just grew up watching and wanted to be like them, yeah.
Fair play. I mean, not some bad choices there at all. Jimmy Anderson and Stuart Broad. Say arguably, definitely the best seam duo in English cricketing history.
Definitely.
A shadow of a doubt. And then the wild thing himself, Sean Tate. You talk about gunslingers and slingshot actions with George Garton. My goodness, when Sean Tate he launched it down, it's like a catapult. Mm. That must be
ridiculous.
Sort of terrifying to face.
As we're speaking about, we've had not faced one bowler in the history of the game. Most people are saying Akhtar. And I said, I just couldn't. The way that Sean Tate bowled, the pace he bowled down them Australian wickets with his action, it's just not for me. I'm all right, thank you.
Probably sensible. I'm going to be
exactly.
Sensible decision there. My goodness, yeah, the wild thing. What a bowler. I do kind of miss watching him bowl Brett Lee, Akhtar as well.
Definitely.
Yeah, the real speed demons. But of course, we do have some speed demons here at the moment, don't we? With the likes of Bumrah, Rabada, Archer, for example. We are blessed. We're almost Joff in a golden era of seam. I've got your teammate.
Joff is pretty rapid. I remember he has that ability to turn it on as well, that extra gear. When he was just coming back to play that County Championship game a few weeks ago, he was training the nets, and he just bowled like every ball was obviously absolutely rapid, but he just had this one ball in him, which was probably that 95 mile an hour ball that he just had in him, which was absolutely, you couldn't see it. And then obviously you've got Mark Wood at the moment as well, who's just bowling rockets. He just looks like a nightmare to face. So yeah, a lot of quick bowlers around at the moment. It's good to see.
Oh, it's wonderful to see. You love to see it. I know that's a very cliche phrase.
You love to see it.
Yeah, you do. Of course you do. As a cricket fan, I mentioned it earlier. Fast bowling and the art of fast bowling at 160 kilometres an hour plus or 90 mile an hour plus, there is something romantic about it. It's something which sticks with you for life when you see those spells. That spell that Jofra bowled, for example, Steve Smith at Lords in 2019, we'll never, ever forget that. That's something which is etched into the memories of cricket fans probably for the rest of time now. But talking of Jofra there, Jamie, I have to ask, what do you remember from facing him in the nets for the first time? If you have faced him, what on earth has gone through your mind?
I'm lucky enough to, so when he was at his height at Sussex, I was in the academy. So I'm so lucky enough to not have faced him. And even if I was a pro at the time, I probably would have hidden me against him. I wouldn't have won any broken bones. But from everything I've heard, it's a nightmare because he gets so much movement both ways and the speed he bowls at, it's just ridiculous. And it just seems like a nightmare to face in the nets. I remember watching him being a 15-year-old, I was at the time, 15, 16-year-old, bowling with him, actually. And it was just great to see. You learn so much stuff from blokes like that.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, Jofra's brilliant. We will not say a bad word about Jofra on TCCP. I mean, another lovely thing about Jofra is the deceptive nature of his bowling as well, isn't it? He just saunters in. You think, okay, he's probably going to be medium fast. And then he cocks the wrist back and bang, it's like a missile going off.
I remember when he first came onto the circuit, he was playing for Horsham. And I don't think, I might have just been breaking to Rothie first team, might have been in the second team. But the talk about it was like he bowled his first few balls, and people were just like, oh, like he's going to be, like you said, a medium pacer. But he just is so quick through the crease, and he's got that wrist, which is just lightning fast. And it is ridiculous how quick he bowls.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think I'd fancy it personally. My technique is all over. I don't think I'd I'd fare too well, to be honest, against Jofra Archer.
I'm in the same boat as you.
Unite, Jamie. Simple as that. We're not exactly, are we? Even though I didn't get a wicket over the weekend, whereas you clearly have done this season for Sussex. But exactly, that isn't our role, mate, at all. We're there to survive and dig in. Let the actual play the Jofras.
Although I love batting when it comes down to the middle of Yorkshire last week, a couple of weeks ago now. Loved every second of that. Yeah, brilliant experience.
I bet it was. I mean, it must be brilliant. And of course, we will talk about Sussex and this season in due course. But because we have alluded to the Southern County so much in that little dialogue there, I think we have to, start talking about Sussex County Cricket Club, Jamie. And you mentioned beforehand about being a Sussex boy born and bred in the Southern County. What were your first actual memories of county cricket? I haven't even asked this, actually, but do you have any specific kind of memories or moments that you remember from those early years?
I remember a lot of my early days at Sussex. I actually do remember my first wicket. It was at Blackstone Bond pitch against Hampshire. We were playing under-10s cricket. I remember nicking someone off, which was a rare thing to do at under-10s cricket. I remember so much stuff, especially towards the later part. We had a really successful few sides. When I was 15, playing in the under-18 side, we drew the final of the county championship under-18. We had a really great side in that era, and then more recently, you see the guys coming through now with Danny Prim, Archie Lennon, who we were playing with for a long time. They were playing up three or four years with us the whole time. It was great to play with them lot. And also you see the people like Henry Crokham, Scott Lennon, people like that who I've played with for donkey's years. Real great 8 or so years on the pathway at Sussex, and I loved every minute of it.
Well, that's very, very nice to hear, Jamie. And of course, for Sussex fans as well, that'll be music to the ears. Of course it will. I mean, you are an academy graduate. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
We tweeted, actually, when yourself, Sean Hunt also signed a contract around the same time, didn't he? I think that having that Academy of Cricket come through at the same time, basically, and now you're playing with each other. It must be fantastic, mustn't
it? Yeah. I mean, we had, I think it was three of us signed at the exact same time as me, Croaks, and Jack Carson, all signed at the exact same time. And I played with Cass since 13, 14, Croaks since I was 12. So yeah, it was real special to sign with all of them at the same time and now playing with them in first-class cricket. It's amazing. It's something that we never thought we'd see or do.
Well, here you are.
Exactly. It's quite surreal.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's very, very unusual to have so many of the same kind of academy crop come through and play first-class cricket basically at the same time. I mean, of course, we'll mention this as the podcast progresses, but yourself, Crowcombe, Sean Hunt, Ali Orr's another one, Daniel Ibrahim, Archie Lenham, who's, of course, come to prominence in this past week or so. There's so much good young talent down in Sussex, and fair play to the club, actually, for giving you guys an opportunity. Yeah. I think there is a real good project down at Hove at the moment, isn't there, Jamie?
Definitely. I mean, a lot of it is testament to, obviously, Carl Hopkins, who was before him, but Richard Housel, who's been there for a few years now, he's producing these great cricketers and, you know, like Danny Ibrahim, who's still in the academy, Archie Lenham as well, we talked about. And he's prepared all of us for what it's like to be in a pro environment. It's made it so much easier, you know, coming into it knowing that when we were in the academy, we were training like professionals when we were in that environment. And also exposure to the professional environment, you've got to give credit to, you know, Sauls and Kurtz and also Dizzy a year ago for, you know, letting us have a taste of what it was like in that professional environment. It's been great to play with all these guys. They've been, you know, amazing to play with, and it helps you settle in so much more into that dressing room and onto the pitch. I remember on my first team debut at the Oval, Cast plonked himself at mid-on. He was fielding at fine leg all day. Plonked himself at mid-on. I was like, yeah, I want to talk to you whilst you're bowling. And, you know, it puts you so much more at ease, you know, having them blokes around you played with for absolutely ages.
Fair play, Jamie. I mean, it's fantastic to hear. It really is. I'm not a quote-unquote Sussex fan. Of course, I'm based in Warwickshire. I'm very much a Bears fan. But we really have enjoyed seeing the evolution and emergence of this group down in Sussex. We think it's a fantastic project. And not only that, I mean, you've all kind of delivered so far this season as well. Mentioned Daniel Ibrahim, second youngest player to ever score 50 in the county championship on debut. That is crazy. You've got Archie Lenham, the youngest ever Vitality Blast player. Yourself, mate, getting a fiver against Yorkshire. I mean, there's so much talent down in Hove at the moment. It's fantastic if you're a Sussex fan, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is for us, most importantly, is to be patient. You know, in most other sides, you know, we probably wouldn't be getting a sniff at the first team. We'd be in the twos. But what we've got going on at the moment is, you know, a lot of emphasis on the youth. And it's been great to, you know, be able to give them the opportunity to put in performances like that. You look at Croaks now, he's been doing it for a while. Cass has been taking so many wickets this year in the championship. I think he's, what, third spinner?
He's up there. He is up there.
He's definitely up there.
Brilliant.
But it's been amazing to, you know, see what Sussex are doing and be a part of it. We said a couple of years ago, it's such an exciting time to be a youngster at Sussex, and you've got to use that as motivation to try and get yourself in that side. And once you're in it, you've got to battle as hard as you can to stay in it. Because, you know, there is a lot of quality at the club still around all us youngsters. And it's been a pleasure to play with everyone in that dressing room.
Very, very good words there, Jamie, I must admit. Very, very nice. A glowing review, I suppose, of your teammates down in Hove. It's fantastic. Quite clearly, a good, healthy environment then for the youngsters at the moment. Well, that is wonderful to hear. And of course, Sussex fans, I can imagine there's a nice grin on your face at the moment. It would be if this was about Warwickshire or mine. But Jamie, in terms of the twos there, you mentioned second 11 cricket or alluded to it. How difficult was the step up from coming from second 11 cricket, which would have still been very, very competitive, of course. The second 11 circuit has got some excellent players in it. But how difficult was the step up from second 11 cricket to first class cricket for Sussex?
I think it's the stage that first 11 cricket is on definitely helped me for my personality. You know, someone who I really want to rise to that occasion And yeah, you can see the massive step up. I mean, in my opening spell, I had to bother Keaton Jennings, who's obviously a former Test match cricketer. And it was a bit surreal bowling to people like that who you do, you know, you watch when you're younger. I remember watching him on TV. But yeah, it is a massive step up. But you've got to treat every second 11 game like a first 11 game. You've got to rise to that occasion all the time. It's definitely something when we played Essex a couple of weeks ago that I looked to do. I was pushing to get back into that first team squad after my debut. But even so, some of the second 11 in opposition we played against, Viren Chopra, who's, you know, played so many first class matches. He scored a double ton against us and he didn't even look like he got out of second gear. So, you know, you do play against some quality players, but definitely for all of us, it's about getting over that white line, and whoever the opposition is against, you've got to put in 100%. And the opposition, you know, second 11, first 11, you've got to play what's in front of you.
Well, exactly. Yeah, that's the attitude you have to have, isn't it? I mean, both incredibly definitely competitive environments. I know that some people do sometimes criticise second 11 cricket, but I think it's quite a decent pathway. I mean, it's a necessary stepping stone, isn't it, to go from academy cricket to first 11 cricket?
Oh, definitely. At the start of the year, I had to sit down with Sauls, and I hadn't played a second team game before this year because I had a lot of injury troubles in, you know, my youth at Sussex. But he said, we need you to just play more adult cricket at the start of the year for you to prepare for this year. And that was what I did. I had, I think, 3 or 4 games in the twos, and then, unfortunately, some injuries to Hunty, Mitchie, but it gave me an opportunity against Lancs, and I felt second team cricket definitely prepared me so well for it, because you don't get the margin of error. It's so small in second team cricket as well as first team cricket. So it's all about just hitting that top of off as much as you can in both of them.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, again, definitely. A very, very common phrase, I suppose, that in cricket for seamers, hit the top of off.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, in this country, it's what pays off, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. You look at Ollie Robinson now, who's bowling so well. He bowled so well on his England debut. He's the master of it. He's done it for Sussex for five, six years now. Been incredible at doing it. So, yeah, he's definitely someone to learn off if you're looking to learn that art.
I was going to say, you've got some pretty good mentors, I suppose, down at Sussex, haven't you? Ollie Robb, Jofra, Chris Jordan, Tamar Mills as well.
CJ's back now, yeah.
Stuart Meeker, again, a former England international.
Stewie's been, incredible, because I think Stewie was the only one who was actually at the whole winter in England. And me and Croaks were really lucky. Because of COVID, we had these pods, and it was me, Croaks, and Meeks in one pod, and it was almost the two young rooks and the one old wise owl. And we were learning as much as we could off him, especially for me, who are very, not similar action, but very similar roles inside, who want to, you know, try and hit the bat as hard as we can, be really aggressive, be at the opposition. And it was just, you know, amazing to learn off someone like that, of that calibre.
Absolutely. I mean, we've had Stuart on the podcast. He's a great, great guest, and obviously a good learning opportunity there. For yourself, Jamie.
Oh, definitely.
Because for him as well, when he was a young seamer, I don't want to say I see tons of similarities between you, but in terms of the mentality and the mindset, as you said, just steaming him, making it as difficult for the opposition batsman as possible,
definitely.
Getting those speeds up. Do you see a little bit of Stuart Meeker in there, Jamie?
Well, I'm flattered to be compared to him. You know, he's an England international bowler, and it's something that I dream of doing one day. Obviously, got a long way to go now, but, you know, one day hopefully want to be in and around that sort of environment.
Fingers crossed, Jamie. Fingers crossed. We wish you the best here.
Hopefully.
Obviously.
Thank you very much.
Podcast.
Yeah.
We always want to see our guests doing well. I mean, James Bracey, for example, has just been playing for England. So who knows, Jamie? Who knows?
Amazing.
We spoke to him in October 2020 when he was barely on the fringes, and we said he'd play for England. Who knows, Jamie?
Yeah. One day, hopefully.
Exactly. Keep plugging away. That's the attitude.
Exactly.
But before we go into too much detail about the future, of course, Jamie, let's come back on track to this season, because you alluded to your debut against Lancashire. If my Lancashire co-host Joe Nuttall was here, he'd probably give you a bit of banter about this, because Lancs did emerge victorious in that
game. They did.
But what do you remember from that day? How momentous of an occasion was that for you as a Sussex boy to make your debut for your boyhood club?
Yeah, it was so special. I mean, I had a joke with Sauls about it because on the first day we batted all day and we said, what other sport in where do you make your debut? You don't do anything with day, put your feet up. But yeah, the second day I had a bat and bowled, you know, a lot of overs. And I think on the second day I took that my first wicket, and it was the boys were so great about it. You know, the whole being at Hove against a great opposition. It was a special 4 days, and, you know, the result wasn't what we wanted. But nonetheless, it was amazing to make my debut for the club that I've been playing for 8-9 years now. And yeah, it was a special 4 days and loved every minute of it.
I can imagine that. Of course, building up through all of these years, all of the, you know, the proverbial blood, sweat, tears, the hardship, I suppose, in those years coming up through the academy, second 11 cricket, you make your debut. Yes, of course, the result didn't go your way, of course, in the game. But I mean, to take a wicket as well, fair play. You took two wickets. Do you remember who they were?
Yeah, they were Dane Villas and Bahanan.
Very, very good. Yeah, they were indeed. Yeah, Bahanan.
We're going through that. Yeah, Bahanan was one that just kept, I think he kept a little bit low and nibbled a little bit. Yeah. And then Villas was a chop on. But yeah, you never forget stuff like that. We were talking to Cass about it. He's taken, I think, 30-odd first-class bowls now, and he remembers every single one of them in order. So yeah, it's impressive.
If he comes onto the podcast, we do want to get Jack on the podcast. I want to put that to the test. Is he really that much?
I'll certainly talk to him about it. He just loves everything about it. It's probably why he's doing so well. He's such a competitor and a fierce, you know, bowler, even as a spinner. He just loves every second of it, as all of the boys in the dressing room, I imagine.
Yeah, fair play. We do rate Jack quite highly here. And I liked something he said in an interview the other day, because, of course, he was born in Northern Ireland. So he could play for Ireland, but he said he wanted to play for England. So fantastic. I hope that does happen, because he's class.
Yeah, he's been so good this season. In every spell he's bowled, it's not like he's even had a bad spell this year. He's been amazing for every second of every game. He's a great character to have in the dressing room, always, you know, the first one to pump everyone up, get everyone going. He is probably why he's doing so well this year.
Fair play. He's got a bright future, I'll tell you what.
Definitely.
100%. And yourself, Jamie, to be fair. We keep on saying this on the Carrot Cricket podcast. We're just so impressed with the project down in Hove. We really are. Same with Leicestershire as well. Leicestershire have got quite a few good young talents coming through.
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, it's great to see, isn't it? The emergence of young homegrown talent. It's brilliant. I mean, it puts a smile on my face every single time, Jamie, but that's just me. Maybe I'm a bit too much involved in cricket. You mentioned on your debut there that you dismissed Dane Villas, who of course is a county stalwart. Josh Bahanan as well. We've had him on the podcast. Great, great batsman. Potentially on England's radar at some point. Who knows?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
In the middle order. But who do you say is the toughest batsman that you've bowled to in county cricket so far? Can be second or first 11 cricket.
I'd probably say Dawid Malan against Yorkshire when he got that 199. There was, at the start, I felt like, you know, he was obviously getting himself in. And it was so tough to bowl him still. But once he got into, you know, 50s, 100s, it was like bowling to, you know, a brick wall. You were never getting him out. He was cutting things off leg stump towards, you know, third man. It was just ridiculous. We just set out an open field and tried to get him off strike as much as possible. He was he was like a brick wall that day. Not much was getting past him. Definitely the toughest.
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually had written down in my podcast notes, potentially Dawid Malan. I was going to mention him. But
definitely that day, definitely.
He deserved a double century, to be honest. I was gutted.
Oh, he definitely did. Oh. Yeah. I wasn't at the time because...
Of course, you're not going to be.
I was so glad we got him out at the time that he wasn't going to go on and get 300, because he definitely well could have cast on him with a bit of magic.
Hey, fair play, though. What a knock that was from Dan Lan. A good choice, actually. Again, someone who, depending on who you're a fan of, may or may not be back in England contention in Red Bull cricket as well, Dawid Malan, depending on his championship form.
You know, he's definitely, I mean, he's what, number one in the world in T20. He's just a brilliant cricket player all round. And if he scored, definitely keeps him going the way he is. I don't see why not. Yeah, he's just a brilliant player. And when you get out there, you do realise how good these sorts of players are. Mm. You know, to try and get them out, it's just, it's an absolute job in itself. You've got to take 10 of them. So, yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine that's quite the challenge, to say the least, with Yorkshire as well. I mean, you got Adam Lloyd out. How momentous was that? Again, a former England Test player.
Yeah, it was at the time, it was just like, yes, it's another wicket, we've got to get 8 more. But you know, you look back on events like that and you think, yeah, you know, a little bit of pot luck in the way. I think he missed one on leg stump, but at the end of the day, a wicket's a wicket, and I was so chuffed to get, you know, a person of that stature out. Definitely has been opened the batting for England.
Yeah, what a wicket. And again, you mentioned about luck. As a bowler, you need luck. It's a batsman's game, Jamie.
Definitely.
Wicket to wicket.
You know, in that spot,
it's a W next to your name. Exactly. It doesn't matter how it comes.
Wicket's a wicket.
Exactly. Yeah, very cliche again from us two here. But yeah, it's the truth. It is the truth. You'll take them. But we've spoken there a lot about batsmen, Jamie. What about bowlers? Who do you say is the toughest bowler that you faced in county cricket?
I'll tell you, that spell that David Willey bowled at Yorkshire wasn't very nice to face when he came around the wicket, and I think he bumped 3 of our players out. That wasn't very exciting to face when you're trying to block out for a draw. I think I ended up playing a pull shot, which I never meant to play. A couple of them, when you're trying to block out for the draw, I remember going to Brownie at the other end. My mate's instinct, sorry, mate. He's like, I don't worry, he's still here. But Saki Mahmood as well was very sharp. I faced him on my debut. He was quite quick, and you know, as a number 11, it's the last thing you want to face someone who's going to get it in and around upstairs. Obviously, you've got the class of Ben Sanderson and Gareth Bergh, who both have taken so many wickets against us in particular, but also in first class cricket. But yeah, they were tough to face. But yeah, probably I'd say that spell from Willie was probably the most unsettling, I'd say.
Not a bad choice, and not a bad selection of bowlers either. So early on in your county cricket career, Jamie, I mean, you faced quite a few difficult bowlers, to say the least. I'm glad you mentioned as well, obviously, Gareth Bergh. Yeah. There is that running joke with him versus, he turns into Prime Ian Botham, doesn't he? Always seems
It's ridiculous.
But I'm glad you mentioned him and Ben Sanderson and Ben Code as well. Yeah. Another underrated bowler that you faced.
Yeah, I don't think I faced Code. No, I didn't face Code. I faced Patterson. I faced every other bowler except Code, I think.
Oh, lucky.
But yeah, he's lucky me. Yeah, he's a brilliant bowler. I think he's probably Yorkshire's standout bowler at the moment. He's been amazing this season and for a few years now.
Absolutely. Deserves more recognition. That's what I'd say about Ben Code, Sando.
Definitely.
Yeah, great, great bowlers.
He gets all the recognition from opposition, I'll tell you that. In the team meeting, it was very much about, you know, Ben Code's a very good bowler. And yeah, he does get the recognition from us, definitely his assets.
Well, that's good to hear. Maybe it's just as fun. Yeah. It's just us fans then.
Maybe.
Yeah.
No, probably. Maybe. Yeah.
Fair enough. No, that is good to hear, of course, for any Yorkshire fans out there, and of course, North Ants with Sando and Bergie. But yeah. Jamie, before we go on to teammates, which is, of course, our classic roundup topic here on TCCP. We have to ask one pretty profound question. And that is, of course, what are your future ambitions in the game? Not just with Sussex, but we alluded to England as well. Do you have your eyes set on any milestones or achievements or targets for the next 4 or 5 years or so, per se?
Well, I remember in my first appraisal, just after I got signed, I had Sauls, who wasn't actually the head coach. None of the men in the room were the head coach at Sussex yet. By Sauls, Kurtz, Richard Housel, Swifty, who's the batting coach now. And we all sat down and they said, what do you want to do? What do you want to get out of the game? And I said, I want to play as much test match cricket as I can for England. I think I said, I don't want to play 100 tests for England. That was my ambition. It's a big old goal. But I went in there and I was deadly serious about it, and ever since I've tried to work as hard as I can to try and reach that goal, and long may it continue. Obviously you have the IPL, which you want to play, And definitely for Sussex, try and play as many first class games and T20 games, List A games as possible, and take as many wickets as I can in the games. You know, those are my future ambitions in the game, I'd say.
Tell you what though, Jamie, I mean, obviously, yes, it's easier said than done, isn't it? Of course, 100 tests.
Definitely.
But you have to have goals. Of course you do. You have to
Definitely.
Have ambitions and aspirations. But no, yeah. Fair play, mate. And of course, wishing you the very best of luck with that, not just for Sussex, but of course, beyond. It'd be fantastic if you could make that step up for the Three Lions and a crown. I'm wishing you the best, mate.
Yeah, no. Thank you very much, mate.
No problem. So, Jamie, I suppose before we wrap up today's episode, we do, of course, have everyone's favourite segment, which is, of course, teammates. So just for the listeners out there, how this works, I've got 10 questions for Jamie Atkins, all about his teammates that he shares a dressing room with down in Hove. So, Jamie Atkins, are you ready for TCCP teammates?
I am ready.
Fantastic. Right. Okay. First question. Who is the teacher's pet down at Sussex? Who's always hanging around the coaches and trying to, you know, be a bit of a badger?
Oh, he's going to hate me for this, but he knows it as well. It's definitely Jack Carson. With Ian Salisbury as the spin coach, you can see why, though, to be fair. He follows Salisbury around all the time, you know, tries to gain everything he can out of him, you know, not just as a bowler, but also as a person and a mentor. You know, he's always with him, always talking about the game, always talking about spin, how we can get better, and that's the type of bloke Carson is. He's always next to Salisbury and just trying to learn as much as he can.
Fair play to him, though. I mean, again, not a bad
thing. Oh, yeah, definitely. Someone who's played, you know, as many first-class games as he has in Test cricket as well. You know, he's been great for us this year, so especially for the young ones that have come in. He's been amazing for us, yeah.
Well, that is fantastic to hear, Jamie. It really is. Great, great to hear. Moving on to our next one. This is always a good one. Who's Mr. Hard as Nails down in Sussex? Who's got the biggest guns? Who's the hard man in the dressing room?
The hard man in the dressing room. Tamal's pretty, you know, he lifts quite a lot in the gym. Meeks as well. You know, they are probably the biggest lifters, I'd say. They are probably the strongest blokes. I'll probably put them two forward for them. They're probably two blokes you wouldn't want to mess with in there. But also Aaron Thomason. He's I'll tell you what he... He's got a lot of aggression in him, but he's a lovely bloke. But yeah, you don't want to get in the wrong side of him. But yeah, no, Tomo, I'd probably say in terms of, yeah, the hardest bloke in there.
Fair play. Of course, as a former Warwickshire player, I do know what Tomo's like. I miss him,
he's
I'm going to be
honest. Guy.
Yeah, he was. He was very, very nice at the charity games, which is the Neil Abberley Memorial Trophy. Met him there a couple of times. But
yeah,
don't want to get on the wrong side of him on the cricket field.
Definitely. Yeah, him and David Willey, you know, that you could see on the live stream when we were there, you know, two fierce competitors going up against each other. That was great to see. But yeah, no, definitely wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of Tomo.
100%. Yeah, good advice, of course, for any listeners out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Moving on to our next question then, Jamie, who is the dressing room DJ in Hove? Who's got control of the playlists?
It varies. I'd say probably Delray mostly. It probably when we're just chilling about, Delray's usually on it. Trav was on it last time, I think. It varies a lot. When we're in the gym, it's whoever gets on it first. I like to get on it as much as I can.
What are the tunes?
I like my tunes.
What are they?
My tune, very dancey stuff in the gym. A bit of Faithless, bit of Alison Limerick, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, fair play.
I like a bit of old school dance in the gym. But a lot of it now is a lot of current hip hop, drill, stuff like that, which is why I try and get on it as much as possible.
At least there's a bit of variety, I suppose. For Sussex,
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, songs.
Carson loves Jerry Cinnamon, so I try and get him on it as well without a bit of Jerry.
Right, fair play. Whatever floats your boat, I suppose.
Exactly.
Moving on to our next one then, Jamie. Again, this is a funny one on TCCP. Who has the dodgiest dance moves down at Sussex? Who can't move to save their life?
I'll probably put myself forward for that. I am a honking. Yeah, I don't, because I'm so tall, I'm so mal coordinated. I am, yeah, but I end up quite a mess on the dance floor. Croaks as well when we were younger. Yeah, I'd probably put me in Croaks 4 for that. We've got some honking moves.
What are the go-to moves?
Love a bit of the lawnmower. Stuff like that. Stuff like that, all the classics, yeah. We always pull them out.
I can't say anything. Mine are absolutely appalling as well.
Oh, yeah.
As good as my batting.
Chopping trolley, lawnmower, two probably the go-to ones.
Brilliant. Oh, right. Moving on to the next one then, Jamie. Again, we're keeping with a similar theme here, actually. Who's the karaoke king down at Sussex, and what is their go-to song?
I'll tell you what, who can sing. I know I've mentioned him already, but Aaron Thomason is a ridiculous singer. He can sing very well. I'd say he's definitely the best singer in the group, Karaoke King. He sings anything. He sings quite a lot of old stuff as well, Frank Sinatra. He's very good at that. He's got a cracking voice on him.
Fair play. Again, something else I've learned today. Oh, I wouldn't expect that from Aaron Thomason. Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, he's got a cracking voice. Yeah, you can. Yeah, he's very good. When I first heard it, I thought, what's going on here? But yeah, no, he's a cracking singer.
Again, you learn something every day. Aaron Thomason, voice of an angel.
Yeah.
Swiftly moving on then, Jamie. On to our next one. Not musically themed this one, unfortunately. But who's the biggest diva down at Sussex? Who, you know, makes a bit of a fuss when they get out, for example, or...?
I think Mitchie's not a diva, but he loves the youngsters to, you know, he loves to wind the youngsters up and, you know, get to do stuff for him. And when I was 12th man, he'd be making jokes about, oh, go on, do this for me, do that for me. So not much, so much a diva, but Mitchie definitely gets the young blokes to, he winds them up and gets us going against each other, I'd say.
Oh, okay. Bit stirring then.
Oh, he loves that stuff. He loves doing that against each other. He'd say one thing, then he'd say one thing to another person, and then it results in two people arguing for no reason. He's very good for that. Good fun, though.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because that could relate to our next question, actually. Who is the dressing room joker down in Hove? Who's always pulling pranks or, you know, the comedian of the group, per se?
There are quite a lot. Brownie and Hainsey like to hide each other's stuff a lot of the time. There's a lot of practical jokes go around. Ollie Robinson, I'd say, is probably the one, though, you don't want to get on the wrong side of. Because he's... I remember him taping Tom Clark's shoe to the ceiling once. He's definitely one for the practical jokes. Mitchie, again, loves a practical joke. Henry Croke, I'm actually here, Dallas DeRoy's pad in the ceiling once as well. So a lot of good fans flying about there.
How tall are the ceilings, out of interest?
What you can do is hop up on the bench and get up. Croaks is quite a tall lad, so he can reach it quite easily, but Alion not so much. He's struggling a bit.
Well, that's a good one. Fair play.
Yeah, exactly.
Or moving on to our third from last then, Jamie. An interesting one here. Who are the best and worst dressed down at Sussex?
Best dress. You see, the head S&C is probably, he's helping me. So these sort of relate to each other. I'm definitely the worst dressed by a mile. Black socks with white trainers, just a honking attire every time we go out. Probably the head S&C, we've got very good dress sense. Meeks, Brownie, very good. All the lads do, to be fair. I'd definitely put myself for the worst dressed by a country mile. I think every other person in the dressing room will definitely say that.
I think your name might have popped up on a previous one, to be honest there, Jamie.
Yeah. But,
no, fair choices for the best. I must admit, Ben Brown, seen him in a
suit.
Yeah,
Brownie.
Rocks a suit.
Yeah, no. He's got his aviators as well. I saw him on BBC Radio the other day watching on Sky. He had his aviators out looking very stellar.
Dapper.
So, yeah, exactly.
Fair play. Or the penultimate one, Jamie. This is one which is pretty prestigious. It has to be said, because as we all know, cricketers love their golf. And in particular, county cricketers seem to, well, they can't get enough of the sport, I suppose. But who is the best golfer down in Hove?
I haven't played golf with too many of the blokes, but from what I've heard, Gartz is a good golfer. Clarke is a very good golfer. I think Jack Carson, I played with Carson a couple of times. He's very good at golf. So there's a few to put in the hat there. Trav hits a long ball.
I can imagine.
A very long ball. Yeah, he just swings so hard at it. It's ridiculous. So it either goes about 10 feet or about 300 yards. I'd say those are the names I'll probably pull out from that. Carson's short game is very exceptional, though.
Oh, that's interesting then. If you had to choose one to play a round of golf, not just like a driving range, who would you choose?
Cass, his around the greens, he's impeccable. Trav, I'd probably select for a longest drive. Cass, yeah, probably. He's iron plays very good.
Fair enough. He'll thank you for that later if he does, of course, tune into today's episode.
He definitely will.
Brilliant. Jamie, moving on to our last one then. Again, arguably the most rogue question, but it's a nice way to end it off. Who do you reckon would be the most likely to win I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here down at Sussex?
That's tough. That is tough. I'd say Delray would probably be thrown in the hat. He's very chilled, but also has a very good sense of humour. Meeks is a lovely bloke. I think he'd be definitely up there. I think all of them have got a shot. Mitchie, because of he's just got incredible banter. I'd say those are the three that I'd pick out in terms of winning I'm a Celeb, definitely.
Some decent choices there then, Jamie. Yes, seem to fit the bill. And I always say this, that isn't really the last question. The last question is this one, actually. Related to I'm a Celebrity again, who do you think wouldn't be able to hack it? Who would say, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here on the first day?
Who'd say, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here? Croaks is awful with anything to do with, I think unhygienic. So, yeah, probably he'd hate it. I reckon Croaks would.
Yeah, probably a smart choice then.
I don't blame him, to be fair. But, yeah, definitely him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, not everyone wants to spend, you know, a few weeks in a jungle, hot, humid, sticky. Yeah.
Eating bugs. Yeah, I don't really fancy it too much, to be fair. But yeah, I would say croaks.
Fair play, Jamie. What a way to end today's episode as well, of course. That does bring us to an end, not only to today's teammate segment, but of course to the greater Jamie Atkins podcast as a whole. So Jamie, I mean, before we end today's episode, do you just have anything to kind of close on, wrap up on? Any social media channels to promote, for example?
No, just thanks for having me on, guys. It's been a blast, definitely.
That's what I like to hear, Jamie. Very, very nice.
Yeah.
And of course, mate, thank you very much for taking the time. Of course, a very, very busy part of the season with Second 11 Cricket, Championship back, of course, next month as well. That's very, very exciting. Yeah. So thank you very much for taking the time, mate. Really appreciate it.
No worries.
And always welcome back here on CCCP.
Perfect. Always welcome. Thank you very much.
But that is it from us two here at the Counts Cricket Podcast for today's episode. To all of the listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.